This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There we go, Hoppy.
I am stuck in my 80s world, boy, and I am not ashamed to admit it.
I don't care. The best music. I don't know if I'd say the best styles. Whoa. I mean, every decade has wacky styles. Like the 70s was just completely whacked out. 90s, I was never, even though I love grunge music, I never dressed grungy. To me, the 80s, give me some fat laces. Let's go. Give me some Sergio Tacchini suits and a gold chain. I feel right at home, Huff. Let's go. Come on.
Did you have the foofy hair?
You know what it was? Yeah, I did, but I always had the side shaved. Sides were always shaved. Back was always, because I had to because of my high school, but also just always kept it tight. I wanted, like, my baseball cap was low, and then the sides was always short. But, yeah, I generally had, like, curly, longer hair on the top.
Perms, right? Is that what they were?
With the... I didn't have perms, dude.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
He's such an idiot. Now, it's funny you say that. I couldn't stand, I do admit, in my hair, I was very self-conscious of my hair. That's why I have zero problems being bald. None, except that razors are too freaking expensive. But I hated my hair. Like, it was curly, and not like cool curly. It was just nasty curly. Like, I couldn't stand it. I was embarrassed by it. And, like, I felt like, even to this day, when I think about it, I'm like, I can't look at some of the old pictures. I can't. First, my eyes go right to the hair. I'm like, God, look at the hair.
So when was the first day that you officially went, like, you know, shaved your head? Where, like, I'm done.
The first time that I really got away from it, believe it or not, remember when the Caesar cut became really, really famous? No?
With the Caesar cut.
Like when it would, like, cut it down, like Eminem, that straight, you know what I mean, right?
Yes.
I tried that in college, and even though, because I would try to get flat tops.
Did you bleach your hair too?
I bleached my hair, yeah. I did. That was actually great. That was a good look. I wasn't young. I was like 24 when I did it.
Oh, yeah.
I was living in Vegas. I was in, you know, flip-flops and bleached hair. The good thing about, and we'll get into some real stuff. The good thing about the bleach, though, that I found out, was when it was actually an ex-girlfriend who gave it to me as a Valentine's Day gift. She's like, come on, because like Eminem had it. Like, I think I may have said, maybe I'm going to mess around and do that. And she set up a place at the spa, whatever. And they did it. And what happened, I guess because of the chemicals in the bleach, it kind of straightened out my hair a little bit. So not only did it go completely light, but it went like spiky. I'm like, yeah, this is what I wanted my whole life.
We need to find that picture.
I have one. I'll show. I'm not ashamed of it.
No. Don't give it to me. I want you to put it online.
You know what? I will look for it the next break. It actually looks good. Now, if we find like a picture that I don't want you to see, I will be horrified. That other picture, that's good to go. It worked out well for me, man. I look good. Do you have, I want to get back to the calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here. A lot of Sal's obviously in Disney. He's off the week. He's got the second eye surgery, so good luck to my buddy with that. We've got the Mania injury. We've got the Dominguez situation in left field. We've got the Knicks who are a train wreck right now. It's just not even showing any urgency or pride. I think they are incapable of winning anything this year. I don't see it under any circumstance, even when Mitchell Robinson comes back. And the way this thing's going, Knicks going to have a new coach next year. Nick's going to, the way this is going. And Hoff's going to get this for us in a minute. We found out, I'd say about an hour or so ago, that Al Troutwood passed away. I love Al. And Al did a lot, obviously, always with the Knicks. Did a lot of Ranger stuff back in the day. You know, pre, post, halftime, in between periods. Just a pro and just a great guy. Cool. Great guy. And I told you that, and I remember it distinctly because I was sitting there watching it. When Mattingly hit the home run off the foul pole on a sunny day in Toronto back in 1995 with Buck and that team, you know the team, if you're old enough, to finally get Mattingly in the playoffs, Troutwig, Al is on the call. And we're going to play it for you before we get out of here at 2, before Evan and Tiki take over. Also, a couple minutes, we'll find out where the Johnnies are ranked, all right? They should move up a couple of the slots. Let me get Charles in Lincroft, New Jersey. Charles, what's happening?
Hey, BT, what's going on?
All good. What's up, man?
All right, so I'm going to make a Knicks prediction right now. We all agree that they are not going to win the championship this year with this roster. There's just so much there's better teams out there. It's evident with the way they've played against those teams. So I'll make a prediction right now.
Yeah, and by the way, hang on a second, Charles. I'll let you do it. You say we all agree. I don't think everybody. I think a lot of people agree, but I think there's a fair amount of Knicks fans saying, when we get Mitch back, Mitch is going to clean up all our problems. No, he's not.
He's definitely not. He's a nice player.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's a nice player, but he's not going to make a difference in what has been, you know, games we're losing by 30, 35 points.
I agree. All right, so what's your prediction here? It should be interesting.
All right. You might call me crazy for this.
Go ahead.
But I think this summer the New York Knicks are going to pull off a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not Giannis. Giannis.
Yeah.
We're going to get Giannis this summer.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen, BT. I think it's going to be a package. It's going to have to do with OG Anunoby going to the Bucks, maybe McBride in there too. But uh-huh. I think you're going to be looking next year. You're going to have Kat Brunson and Giannis on this roster.
All right, first of all, Charles, I don't think it's nuts. That would not surprise me. But even at that point, are they then a championship team?
I mean, Giannis is... Okay, so obviously Kat's not a great defender, right?
No.
So you put Giannis in there now. He's a very good defensive player. He's a big. And he's obviously fantastic on offense. Very strong player.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean, you put those three together, man. I mean, I'm feeling good about this team.
Yeah, I would like it better than I like this team. Interesting. I'm not going to rule it out. I've always thought that there's a chance Giannis gets here. But I think for me, that kind of dissipated. Like, I don't give it a lot of energy because, let's face it, the Knicks gave up all those picks. But, yeah, there's a way to satisfy. First of all, you got to have the money to match. And, you know, obviously what OG's making, that could work. Further enticement. And I love McBride, but, of course, you give up McBride. You give up Deuce for Giannis here real quick. So Giannis is making... Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee's going to want to get away from this. They're not going to win a championship anymore the way they're built. Lillard shot, you know, Lillard's due $58 million next year. He's got a $63 million player option in 2026, 2027. He's not opting out of that because no one's giving him that kind of loot. So Giannis, let's see. I mean, this money is really getting nuts. 57 next year, 62 the year after that. And then a player option. And, you know, he could opt out of it because he'd be 32, 33 at the age in year 2027, 2028. Yep. I don't think it's nuts. You know, I don't want to get too nuts about what they could do. I'd like to see this situation resolve itself just a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know how you have a ton of energy for the Knicks right now. They just don't look the part. Danny's in Belmore. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's up, BT?
Hey.
Doing a good job holding it down while Sal's enjoying Disney World.
Thank you.
I want to get to my Mets point, but I'm a casual Johnnies fan. It's great to see what Patino's done with that program in such a short amount of time. Those guys are playing, you know, balls to the wall every game, it seems like. And they're finally starting. I watched the UConn game over the weekend. They're finally starting to shoot the ball a little bit better, so it's good to see.
There you go. Look at you jumping in. About time, Dan. Join the party, dude.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do in the tournament. Hopefully they get a one or two seed if they don't, you know, they perform well in the Big East tournament. So
I don't think they really even if they win out, I don't think they'll get a one. Like, again, I don't want to get too wrapped up in this, but like the minutiae of the metrics here, like there's just too many teams with more quad ones, whatever. I think two is definitely in play, and a three is absolutely unequivocally in play. One, I don't see them getting a one.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for the Big East tournament. Yep. That's my favorite conference to watch overall for college basketball.
Me too.
But, I'm headed to Vegas for that too, so it'll be a good time.
Oh, sick.
But the Mets point, it's time to hit the panic button. This is the worst-case scenario that could happen with Manaea going down and not even really a timetable for him to return or to start throwing. The Mets are loaded with guys in the rotation that are really like 3, 4, or 5 guys. They're really lacking that ace. You hope that Kodai can be that ace. Manaea was supposed to be, you know, like a 1 or 2 guy as well. And you don't know what you're going to get out of Kodai. So for me, I'm a big proponent of bringing up what you have already if you're not going to sign anyone else. I know there's some names floating around that are familiar. Quintana, Kyle Gibson, some guys that aren't great, but they can help you tread water until Manaea does get back.
Yeah.
I'm more of a fan of just let's bring Sproat up. Let's see what we have in this kid. Maybe catch lightning in a bottle. I know it didn't exactly work out with Christian Scott last year. He got hurt, but, I know the service time comes into play as well, but with Madrigal going down, let's get Iglesias back. Let's kind of run it back with the team we had last year plus Soto.
Mm-hmm.
See where the cards come out at the end of the day.
That's a good call. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. And, it's not just the addition of Soto. The other things that you got to – I know the pitching could be an issue at least for the first month or two while they navigate these injuries, but – you know, the reason why I'm bullish on at least the Mets, and I didn't like the staff even before the news about Manaea, you guys know that, but I do like the offense quite a bit. And, it's not just Soto coming here, but it's now, all right, Vientos for the entire season. You've got to think that Nimmo's over. What do you, plantar fasciitis, I think it was a year ago. Nimmo just was hobbled. And I really respect Nimmo, and he's a grinder, and I don't love him as a player. I like him as a player. I'm not going to go nuts, but I do think he's better than he showed a year ago. So even if you only get, 10, 12, 15% better production from him, coupled with Vientos for a full season, Alvarez has to be better. Siri is going to be more dynamic than Bader. Mets offense could be good. But the problem is that, with so many, first of all, Clay Holmes is, and I love what they did. I do. I think it was very interesting thought process to convert him. I think he's going to be able to do it. But because of the conversion, and you've got to just build him up, Clay Holmes is not going deep in games. Maybe not the whole year. Certainly not the first 2 months. He's going to be a 5-and-fly guy. He just is. So he's not going to go deep in games. We know, and I like Senga more than Sal, but we know he nibbles with that ghost ball, and when you do that, you got a lot of deep counts. Deep counts equal, look up, 4th inning, 75 pitches, whatever. That's going to happen once in a while. There'll also be games where he's flat-out dominant, but there's going to be games where he's nibbling. Maybe it's chilly out, whatever. His pitch count's up early. He's going to hit 5, and maybe 5-plus. Montas is gone for a while. Manaea, gone for a while. I like Peterson's stuff, but he's not going deep. The point is, even with the Mets offense, I think able to carry the Mets team for the first month or two, you can't burn out the bullpen. You can't do it. So I think that this is an issue. Not a catastrophe, but definitely less than optimal. Eddie's in Dallas, Texas. Eddie, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you, Mr. Brandon Tierney?
Mr. Eddie, how are you doing, man? I'm good.
You get the full name call because you're on your own today.
So appreciate that. A little more formal. Thank you.
Well, look, I could talk baseball with you all day, but the reason for my call here is a little tribute to a one Mr. Al Trodwick, Wiggy, as they called him, and the business. I had the privilege of working with him and sharing an office with him in Madison Square Garden for 7 years.
Wow.
And I even knew him before then, and couple of funny things about it, but first off is to literally call it what he was, which is basically the most versatile on-air personality probably of our time.
Amen. That's a good call. He did it all, man. Keep going. He did everything well. Yep.
He did everything well, too, on top of, so let's say, Rangers, Yankees, Knicks, and he also modernized sideline reporting. It was not like a thing until he kind of hit the scene there.
It's true. That's true, too. Yep.
But we'll bring up another thing I haven't heard about him that is worth noting for sure. Number one, on top of you talk about his versatility, he did the Olympics every 4 years, and then when it became 2 years, but every 4 years any which way, because mostly he did the gymnastics. He did gymnastics. He did a bang-up job in the Olympics.
I forgot about that, man. That is and you're right. Now that you say that, it jarred my memory. You're absolutely right. Wow.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I'll give you one better. Because of his Olympic work, ended up scoring the movie role in one of the great sport movies of all time, Cool Runnings.
I'm going to embarrass, but I have not seen Cool Runnings.
Oh,
I know.
The theme on you. Go home and watch it now. That's you like bad. Al Chadwick. You want to pay tribute to him? Watch it. He used to talk about the stories about how he got a movie trailer. He thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And the fact is, in the movie, he's got a line. Where are these guys from?
I got to see that. And by the way, you'll know this, and I heard this before. I don't know if it's true. So I don't know if it was which was the Meet the Fockers where they had the scene in the pool where Ben Stiller aggressively spiked the volleyball in the pool.
Oh my God.
Was that Al Troutwig's house? I heard that they used his pool to shoot that scene.
I don't know that. If that is true, that's interesting.
I heard that today.
I did not know that.
Wow.
If that's the case, I can tell you though that is one of the great funny movie scenes of all time.
That's a great one too. Yeah, that's funny stuff. Yep.
It's the first one. It's Meet the Parents. It's the first one.
Correct. It was the first one, not Meet the Fockers.
It was the first one.
I got you.
I will tell you my friend Dan. Believe me when I tell you, countless people know him better than me, and it's not even close. A million people who work there, and some of the most talented people in the world, and that worked there, particularly in production, which I was in, and I was nothing compared to these people. Some of these people are really just tremendous. And he was a big part of that as an on-air talent. He was really second to none, but it was funny. And the last thing I'll tell you about it. So the Grand Poobah, they called him, of New York sports is Mike McCarthy. That's who I was.
It's a Marist guy, Mr. McCarthy. Marist guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. McCarthy. He does deserve a Mr. McCarthy. But I had the privilege to know Mike beforehand and got the lucky job opportunity to be an interactive TV producer at Madison Square Garden when it just first came to be. And Al was always great. But the funny thing that I heard about Al, because you think about it, he did the Olympics. He did this. He did that. He did a lot of NBC sports stuff. Mm-hmm. And he had to get permission from Mr. McCarthy anytime he wanted to work anything off the network.
Okay.
And so Mike used to refer to him as the TV whore.
Hey, if I was getting that kind of bank, I'd be whoring myself out too. Anyway, well, the Olympics, I'll do handball, do anything.
Anything. And I'll tell you, Mike really never stopped him, which was great. That's really awesome. Let him out, but he would still bring it up the point, you whore.
Eddie, I'll tell you, thanks for making the call. That's a good contribution. That's a good perspective on Al. And I remember Al telling me, if I know you don't know this, Al Troutwig was a ball boy for the Nets when the Nets were on Long Island in the ABA with Dr. J. Al Troutwig, what a lie. Just too short, though. 68's young. That stinks. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let me get Mark up in Westchester. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, BT, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
My first time on the Fan.
Oh, wow. First time.
So bear with me. Thank you. Shout out my mom. She's probably listening right now.
There you go. Shout out mom.
I've got 2 points. Yes, 2 points to make about the Knicks, and then I'll get to St. John's. The Knicks, I don't disagree with you about how their records against Cleveland, Boston, and Oklahoma City is concerning and frustrating. But after those teams in the top, I mean, the Knicks are the next best team. I mean, it's frustrating that we're stuffed right behind these teams, but I mean, you look at anyone below us in the East and then anyone in the West that we've beaten, it's frustrating, but I think there is a good chance if we got Brunson, Towns, Hart. Never know what could happen in the playoffs, but when it gets to the playoffs, we've beaten Cleveland. We've shown that we can. Boston's going to be tough, but Oklahoma City, I mean, they're 46-10, 47-10. I mean, these teams are different right now.
Hold on, Mark. You talk about different. That Cavaliers team is different. I mean, the Knicks punked them because they weren't ready. They're ready now. Their bigs are ready. You know, the DeAndre Hunter move, like, it's just a different team. Cavs are just better than the Knicks. That's it. Better.
They are, yeah. I mean, their home record, they've only lost 4 times at home. So, a away series against them will probably be tough in the playoffs. I agree, yeah. So, I mean, it's tough right now, but it's going to have to be something big in the offseason. The last caller brought up Giannis. I mean, yeah, they brought up news that they're probably the favorites to land him. So, it's I mean, Vegas seems to think that. Yeah, so, all right, so I'll get to St. John's. I just graduated from Butler, so I've been watching a lot of Big East basketball these last couple of years. I was at the current second game in early January. That was a good game. I saw you just sitting there with your sweater. That was a good game.
Yeah, that was when they honored Louis. We all did. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that was close in the beginning. So, thought we were able to take that one. And then, this Wednesday, they're actually playing Hinkle, so I'll be there rooting for them. But, my point about St. John's is, I mean, now they're ranked in the top 10 here. And, you know, the Big East has always been strong in the tournament. UConn, Villanova, Marquette, all these teams in the past. If they get a 2 or 3 seed, I could see them making to the Final Four of Pacino and, you know, going against these guys like Duke, Auburn, Florida, the top. I mean,
Houston,
all these teams. But Pacino has shown that he's one of the best coaches in the country.
There's no doubt.
Get it done. So I'm rooting for them, definitely. I got Butler on Wednesday night, though, unfortunately.
Understood. And I'm sure you'd have them in the Big East tournament as well. You went there. Of course you got to have them. Listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't think big. I just want to – I'm enjoying each game. You know, because what I don't want it to turn into – I mean, how unfair is it to be asleep for basically 30 years – and now when we start talking St. John's on the Fan, because now it's mainstream and now it's back page and now it's Patino and it's A-listers and the Garden's sold out and the ratings are backing it up, like, it's on. So now it's got to go right into the Final Four? Like, can we at least I'm speaking for myself because I have called a lot of losses with St. John's. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm not saying I don't let my mind wander a little bit. Two seed, which region? Hey, Providence, Newark, stay home, Newark. I've calculated all that stuff. But the only thing that matters next to me is Butler. And we did get, by the way, we did get the updated ranking. Would you like to take a guess? It just came out.
6.
Nope. What did I say?
7 or 8.
I said 7. And I also said 7 earlier in the show. 7. St. John's is 7 in the latest AP poll. I mean, that is just, that's astounding to see the number next to their name. Usually when I see a 7 next to St. John's, it's like they're the 7th seed in the Big East tournament. And I'm doing like the noon game. And then that's the 8-9 game. But you know what I mean. 7-10 or 8-9, which I've done a million times. Hey, let's beat a bad Georgetown team or let's beat DePaul and for the right to come back the next day and get squashed by UConn. Like, that's usually what that 7 or 8 next to St. John's name means. Not what Rickett doesn't. It means right now they are the number 7 team in the country. Though, did you want to say something? You look like you're starting to perk up to that mic. You're a St. John's grad.
It's very exciting.
There you go, Dove.
He's in awe. I mean, he's a St. John's alum, and he has never experienced this.
What year did you get out again? You got your master's there, right?
No. Undergraduate, BS.
Okay, undergrad. What year was that again?
89, I graduated.
Okay, so you got out 89. It's after Mullen, Patino, Malik Sealy, Wardan, like those guys start coming in, Jason Williams. Did you ever go to a game at back then, Alumni Hall?
I was in the on
yes
court.
Or no?
I was on the court where they practiced, not for a game, though.
Well, he was on the good. You went to a practice?
Correct.
Why did you go to a game?
I had other things to do. First of all, I was working here full time.
That's true. Will you at least do me a favor? I know with the TV, we get that. We respect that. Could you at least listen to me and Mink next game? Can you listen to us on the app? Can you do it?
I'll try.
Huff.
He'll do it for Mink. I know that.
Yeah, he will do it. You're right. He will do it for Mink.
Yeah, he won't do it exactly.
I'll try. Meanwhile, they're writing a big piece on you in the Alumni magazine. They wanted pictures of you. You can't even listen to a game? Come on, dude. You know what? He's going to. I'm going to get him a Johnny's. Dolph, if I get you one of those St. John's jackets that I wore today, would you rock it?
It's a great jacket.
You wouldn't wear it.
But not really my style.
I got you. All right. We try with Dolph. We try. 888-808-1019. It is BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the calls in a minute. We'll shake it up, baby. Things I want to get into here. A couple of Yankee notes. BT and Sal. Just to pay off the update on the rankings here. So St. John's is up to 7 in the AP poll, which is their highest since December 2nd. Hoff, would you like to guess what year? The highest ranking since St. John's. Since
1983.
1991.
Oh, close.
Either way, long time. December of 91, they're up to 7. It really is astounding. All right, now a couple of Yankee things here. We get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. One worries me, and then one kind of perplexes slash bothers me. First, the one that worries me. So, Giancarlo Stanton is set to undergo medical testing in New York. He's flying back, and he's got tennis elbow. Yeah, I know that sounds like wimpy, but tennis elbow actually does hurt. But my fear is they're going to find something worse than tennis elbow. I almost get the impression, I remember saying this last week, I'm starting to get the sense that we're not going to see Giancarlo Stanton much at all this year. I know that sounds like a ridiculous, maybe to some overreaction, but you got to understand, when you show up on the first day of camp and you're not even remotely able to do anything connected to your job, you are jacked up. And, you know, remember when he first got here, his first year was good, played a lot. And then year two was completely, you know, destroyed. Played only 18 games back in 2019. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm starting to get the sense that 2025 might take on the profile of 2019. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Stanton this year. All right, so that's the one that worries me. Not that I thought he'd play 140 games anyway, but, you know, without Soto and you're counting on him a little bit more, not the best news. This one is a little confounding, and it also annoys me. I'm just going to read you a quote. Yankees are out of loot. Quote. It's from John Heyman. I mean, what the hell does that mean? Quote, the Yankees are reportedly out of loot to spend money on further free agent acquisitions, according to John Heyman. Listen, John's good at his job. I know John a long time. I like John. I mean, you had to put a tweet out for that? Does anybody else think the Yankees are going out and getting a free agent? Nobody once thinks that. Every time, I mean, I'll just speak for our show. Every time me and Sal talk about the Yankees, it's like, all right, are we going Dominguez 1 or are we going Volpe 1? Are we going Judge 2 or are we going Bellinger 3? Where's Bellinger going to hit? Where's Goldschmidt going to hit? Where's Wells going to hit? Then nobody, now the only thought would be if the Cardinals bit the bullet financially enough on Arenado to entice the Yankees to move on that, given their eyesore of options at third base. Well, then that's really the only addition that anybody saw coming. They're not getting a pitcher. Free agents? No kidding. They're out on free agents. Whoa. What an earth-shattering tweet that is. Hey, I'm not knocking there, John. I like him. I just like the context of it. Big deal. Like, it's as vanilla tweet as you could possibly get. Yeah, just the way it's worded. Now, did he say that on a podcast? The Yankees are out of loot. You can't say out of money. Like, it just makes it seem a little more, I don't know. Hey, guys, listen, I can't do it. I'm out of money. Or, hey, yo, Yanks are out of loot. Doesn't it make them seem more destitute, even though it's the same exact thing? When you use the word loot, that's why I said I'm confounded annoyed. And annoyed slash annoyed. Hey, they're not getting another free agent. No kidding. And they're not out of loot. Out of loot. They might not have the appetite to do something big now, but I don't know. You saw that tweet, Hop. That was just a weird one.
Well, I mean, you did hear him talk last week, Steinbrenner, and they asked him questions like, would you want to cut payroll down? And he said, yeah. I mean, he kind of acknowledged that, you know, we're always going to have a high payroll, but I'd like to be under certain numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe there's not as much wiggle room as you think.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if the Yankees are staring at a possible championship and they're, you know, first, do I really think it's going to prevent the Yankees from making a move that presents itself? No, at the deadline, no, I don't. But the reality of it is that he's not going to spend like Cohen and he's not going to spend like the Dodgers. People need to get used to it. And by the way, I'm of the mindset you shouldn't have to spend 300 and something gazillion dollars to have a good team. If you drafted better and if you develop players better and you didn't have to always go out and get a first baseman and go out and get a third baseman and go out and get a left fielder. I know Dominguez is getting a shot this year, but years past, and go out and get, you know, give Max Fried, I'm happy they did it, but, or Rodon or Cole and CeCe. Like, if you didn't have to buy aces, you wouldn't have this exorbitant payroll. Same with Stanton. So this is going to be a problem until Stanton's gone and until, to a much lesser extent, until DJ's gone. I understand that, so I'm not going to get worked up over it.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? Like, you need a third baseman. The Yankees, it's official. Like, the Yankees need a third baseman. Arenado is available. Yes, he's going to cost money to get him. And I know that's perfect. I'll send Stroman for Arenado. But Stroman's not going anywhere right now. But Arenado is still a piece that's needed. And he might go to Houston. There's a possibility of that.
I saw that. They've been rekindled those talks.
So why don't you just go make a splash? And guess what? I know this is hard to do. But there are other owners that are willing to do it. I.e. Steve Cohen.
Mm.
Bite the bullet, eat DJ's money, and send him packing.
Yeah. By the way, I think Arenado would help the team. Now, a lot of people look at his numbers. He's not the same hitter. He is still a lights-out elite defender, and he pulls the ball. Like, he can still hammer it a little bit. He's got a little thump in there. He's not. Does anybody think DJ's going to hit this year? I mean, does anybody think he's going to hit? Does anybody think Peraza? Well, I'm not going to slam the door on Peraza, but I mean, it's foolish to think that he's going to. There's a difference between saying he's not going to hit versus I don't think he's going to necessarily hit. Like, you got to give the kid, a little chance, but I'm under no illusions as to what their third base situation is. It's not good. It's actually among the worst in baseball. It's got to be. You got one guy who's broken down, who's had myriad injuries, who's making, not franchise-altering money, but just enough to become a pain in the ass in DJ. And two other guys, young players who are, Peraza is probably a 4A player at this point, and Cabrera is a back of the roster versatility guy. Actually, I'm okay with Cabrera. Actually, played pretty well at the start last year. If you remember, last year it was the Yankees when Judge was awful in April. It was the Yankees starting pitching. It was Soto. It was Volpe, and it was Cabrera who was very influential early on. Stacking some wins. So. I don't know. Yankees are out of loot. I just see that quote, and I'm like, I don't know. It rankles me. A little sensitive these days, Hoff.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you shouldn't be sensitive. You should be very happy right now.
I like the Yankees
Sal's
on paper.
Sal's not here. Oh,
right. I miss Sal. Sometimes he's nuts. We're all nuts. No, he's definitely nuts. He is nuts.
Scale of 1 to 10, what is his normal nuttiness rating?
Okay, that's a great question. See, here's the thing. There's also two versions of Sal. There's the amplified on-air version of Sal. And he means what he says. I'm not saying that he doesn't just take a position for the show. Now, and same with me. You can say some of our takes are outlandish, but frighteningly that's what we actually believe at the time, take it or leave it. I think I would like to see Sal at home. That's the thing. Sal around the office is laid back, is fairly easygoing. The show starts, he's ready to go, which I love. I like the passion. I like the battle. I enjoy that. I always have. That's more my speed than not. At home, I think what he talks about, that he brings it to the air, so I'm not out of school. Like the stuff with his wife, with the calls and the text and the look. I think he's got to stop letting the little things bother him. And I think that he lets them bother him. I don't think that that's necessarily like an elevation, like a presenting something that is not accurate. I think that he gets bothered by little things. I think that that's true.
Yeah, I feel like if he stubs his toe, that's it for the week. Like he might be done out for the count because he's going to complain about his toe. Listen. I know that he really needed his eye surgery, or did he? Maybe it wasn't as bad as he made
nothing else. I just wanted to stop hearing about the complaints like my grandma, who used to look at the horse races with a magnifying glass when she was 89, 90 years old back in the day. I felt like, Sal, just get the grandma surgery, will you, buddy? And hopefully it doesn't go awry.
Give BT and Sal a call to talk New York sports at 888-808-1019. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
Of his back problem. Good sit.
Mattingly rips one down the line and deep and gone. A home run for Don Mattingly in the game that could send him to the first postseason of his 12-year career. He finds the stroke that so many said was gone. It is 5-0 Yankees in the fifth. There isn't a player or anyone or Yankee fan in this ballpark that doesn't understand the implication to the spirit of this team and their captain for what just took place at Sky Dome.
That was a tremendous call. That was, of course, Al Troutwig, one of the, you know, Al's one of those people that you, and I happen to know him a little bit. I don't want to overstate it. I know some people really knew him. But the Al that I knew was awesome. But when you listen to somebody for a long time, you feel like you know him. Like there's other people that I've listened to. Like I don't know Keith Hernandez. I don't know Keith, but you know, just you know, going back and forth watching baseball every night, I feel like I know Keith a little bit, right? And I think Al Troutwig kind of emits and admitted for many the same thing, like, you know, Knicks, Rangers, Olympics, just an easy delivery. And to me, that's but he was in the Yankee booth for a couple of years, man. You know, before Kay and some other iterations took over. Like, Al was there, and Al was there for the Yankees with Mattingly. When I'm watching, you know, I'm in high school, I'm playing, my Yankees aren't very good. And I don't have a whole lot. You know, I got Mattingly, and I got Kevin Moss for about 3 months, and it's kind of it for a couple of years. And Al was in the middle of a lot of that. So that call against Toronto, God, when Mattingly crushed that ball, that was awesome. Great call. Good job finding that, Hoff. There you go. All right, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Back to the calls here in a sec. So did you see, this is a good job by the digital team here on the FAN Twitter account. And did I retweet it? I don't know. If I didn't, it's out there. Just go to FAN, or and I'll retweet it as well. Yeah, I did. I just retweeted. I did. I forgot that I did it. I just did it. Did it like 4 minutes ago. And they have a lot of the guys at the station. They superimpose beards on us. And wow, what a motley looking crew this is. Good God. Let me first say who looks. Look at Sal. Hop, did you see Sal? Did you see what they did to Sal? Wow. I mean, Sal looks. Sal might look the worst. Well, no, Jerry Recco looks the worst. They did Jerry dirty. They did Sal dirty. Gio looks fine. I mean, Boomer just looks old and like Santa, but he looks good, stately. Keith looks real good. I mean, they did Keith well. He's got the long hair, he's got the beard. Keith, it's groomed. Lugie looks pretty good. Al just looks like a pervert. Al just looks. You want to avoid that guy. Evan looks, honestly, Ev looks okay. I know everybody always bags on Ev, like what he wears and how he looks. Some people do. I think he looks pretty good with the beard. Not bad.
Tiki, very red. Very red.
It's true. Like Justin Turner. Tiki looks, I don't know, he looks Amish. See Tiki?
Yeah, but Tiki's is more like tilted to the side. Like yeah, they kind of yeah. screwed that one up. No offense, Kaplan.
That's
screwed
true. That because, one up. Because Tiki's so vain. Like Tiki would take, or if Tiki had a beard, like Tiki would have a ruler.
Oh, yeah.
Like that to would make not sure that the inch.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Whoever did that, you know.
Let's see. Lou, I mean, Marash. Honestly, Marash looks good. They gave him.
McMonica looks the best, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm getting a C-Mac. C-Mac looks pretty good. Marash looks good. He's got, what is that thing?
The mohawk. He's got the hawk.
It looks good. Like a flannel, just a loose fitting flannel. It looks fine. Yeah, C-Mac looks like either an incredibly intense, like, jiu-jitsu instructor or a bouncer who was praying that something happens. He is just waiting for somebody to drop a drink or to get sloppy so he could crack him. Again, I think Sal looks the worst. They just made Sal look like a doof.
It doesn't look like Sal.
I
didn't know who that was at first.
Me either. All right, I mean, I look awful. First of all, they gave me a forehead that's just way too big. I don't mind the beard they gave me, but they gave me hair and Sal too. I guess they did us pretty dirty, right? Yeah, I mean, you're looking at me. It's easier for you to comment on me than me on me. What do you see?
Yeah, you have hair on your head, which is not normal.
No, it's not. That's not good. Again, who looks the most normal? I would say C-Mac. Chris, Gio, Lugie, and Keith. Those are my bets and my choices for they. Not that they look the best, but they look okay. And they look fairly normal. All right, let me get Eric in Rivervale, BT and Sal. Eric, what's happening?
BT, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, dude, I think they did you and Sal pretty dirty. And just giving you guys hair, that was the myth, man. Oh. They should have just kept you guys the same, put the facial hair on and called it a day.
Yeah, I'm not looking good. I am not looking good. They may be a little thicker than I am, too. I mean, unless that's an old picture. But my weight doesn't fluctuate that much. I don't even think I look good. My body looks good. Whatever. Who cares? Go ahead.
Just having a little fun. Nothing wrong. You know, it's Gronk for you, right? I mean, this whole AI world we live in.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
At any rate.
Yeah.
Before I get to the Yanks, real quick, you mentioned John Hughes earlier. Man, what a legend, dude. I mean, you brought up, I think, probably a blast from the past. Some of the greatest movies of our generation, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, man. It's one of my favorites.
That's funny. What a great movie. It's not, I liked it a lot. I'm not putting it up quite as high as you, but it was, I mean, first of all, the actors in it were awesome. And it was good. It was really good.
So on the Yanks, that you actually, as I called in, hit exactly what I was concerned about and wanted to chat with you about, which is Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, this injury with him is not new news, right? So, like, that's the other part. Like, I think some people forget. Like, he dealt with these injuries all last year, both of his elbows with the tendonitis. And mm-hmm. I don't really foresee, how that changes, how they're going to do anything that's going to, really get, make that go away. I mean, he's just going to have to deal with the pain throughout the year. So I agree with you that we're probably not going to see this guy much at all. I mean, usually we're waiting for like mid-season. This guy goes down for the better part of, 2 or 3 months. Now, who knows? And that to me just has to increase the urgency on Cashman to fill that spot at third base and then figure out what we're doing at DH. I mean, there's no time to wait. I mean, there really isn't. C-Mac kind of got me on this and it was his take, so I'm not going to take credit for it.
Okay.
But, I had thought, the All-Star break, wait, the Yanks don't have any urgency. That's not true anymore. Like, they really do need to move. And somebody's going to get Arenado. It definitely needs to be us.
Well, I mean, listen, the only thing that I like Arenado, and I would like to see them do that. I'm going to push back on the urgency of it. I mean, it's not even March yet. Now, I think, Stanton, if you said, hey, listen, give me an over-under game Stanton plays, I'm going under 50. Like I said before, Eric referenced what I said. It feels like this could be a 2019 situation where he played less than 20 games. Well, you can't even pick up a bat on the first day of spring training, and now they're sending you from Tampa, more testing. It's not a good start. It's a very ominous sign, obviously. So I'm not banking on Stanton at all. But, I mean, why do it now? I mean, I know the Red Sox are going to be better, and, Baltimore lost something, Toronto, whatever, the Rays, whatever. I mean, the Yankees are going to win with their pitching and with their higher-level play. Yankees are a 90-something win team. I think the Yankees are going to be really good. Now, they're not complete, and they might not ever become complete. They might not get a third baseman. Who knows where some of the young kids are in a couple of months, like the Wellses, the Dominguezes. I'm less concerned about. I think Wells is going to be a beast. You know that if you listen to the show. But there are some things that if I'm running the Yankees now, I would probably let play out before I do something wacky. And, it's easy to do it on the radio. Go get Arenado. Go get him. I mean, even if I'm Cashman, am I jumping through hoops to do that now? I don't know. I play the long game. All right, St. Louis, you said you had to get rid of him. Take off $10 more million. You got a deal. It's plain chicken. It's business. They don't need to jump now. This is not like the Jets or the Giants but starting the season without a quarterback, a functional quarterback. Yankees have a lot of weapons, and they have the best rotation, I believe, one through whatever, in baseball. So they'll be fine. And I'll have to address it at some point. Not yet. But yeah, not a good sign with Stan. All right, that'll do it. Got to bounce. Great job with the calls. Appreciate Dove. Appreciate Hoff. Good work out of you. Evan and Tiki next. See you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Have a great Monday, everybody. Bye-bye.